thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Today's Bible reading comes from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. That's Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else."
Thanks, Lucky. Fantastic. Well, good day, everybody. How are you? It's great to see you this morning. Welcome to church. If you don't know me, my name's Roxanne. I'm the Children's Ministry Coordinator here at Guymyr Baptist. And because I'm the Children's Ministry Coordinator and we're doing strategic priorities because of our focus series, they said, well, you know what? Let's get the Children's Ministry Coordinator to do leadership. Funny, huh? Because one of our strategic priorities is actually families and youth and children, which is the stream I swim in. But the reason that is, and you'll notice that Mark Rader is actually, when he comes back, he's going to be speaking on youth and families, even though he's the senior pastor. And Jodine, who is actually the pastor in charge of evangelism and outreach, she's not going to be speaking on that either. She's actually going to be speaking on cultural diversity. So we're really mixing up our categories. And there's a reason for that. And it's because we don't just want to swim in our own lane. We actually want to be unified as a church. These strategic priorities need to cross all areas of our church. We need to align our efforts and move forward as a church. So that's why I'm speaking on leadership. We're kind of mixing it up a bit. Pretty cool, huh? Now, if you were here last week, you might have heard Mark Rader speak on our very first strategic priority, and he introduced a purpose statement, which may be the first time that some of you have seen it. There it is. To participate with God in his grand plan to renew all things in Christ Jesus through the enabling presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have gone, wow, I love it already. It's Trinitarian. Fantastic. It mentions all three members of the Trinity. There's four things I want to point out to you on this great statement. Firstly, it's invitational. God is inviting us into something. It's not that we have to do it, it's that we get to do it. God is inviting us. There's an invitational aspect to this. Secondly, it's partnership. This is not just us striding out on our own. We're going to be in partnership with God, the most powerful force in our universe. We get to partner with the Lord to get this done. It's restorative. God is restoring and renewing all things in Jesus Christ, and we get to be part of that, to make things just as they should be. Shalom. Just as they should be. Also, it's spirit-fueled. We don't have to come up with the grunt and the energy ourselves because the Holy Spirit is in this. Last week, Mark preached on John 20:21. And some of those words are actually above our door as you leave the church. If you notice, there's some words written up there, which is, "As the Father sent me," says Jesus, "I am sending you." And when he said that, the next thing he did was he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed the Holy Spirit onto them. Of course, we know the Spirit came in full at Pentecost, but with the sending and the work that we're partnering with God to do, we're going to do that through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. How good is that? So this is our purpose. We want to see lives changed by Jesus. We're going to be partnering with God in the renewal of all things through the force of the Holy Spirit. Where are we going to do that? Well, every. We're going to do that everywhere we go. And in everything we do, we're going to invite everyone to follow Jesus. And if we want to see this grand, ginormous, big vision happen, seems to me we're going to need some serious leadership chops to get this done. We're going to need an army. It can't be just the paid staff. It can't be just the people that work in ministry. It's got to be us as a church seeing this done. And so one of our strategic priorities for us as a church is actually to develop and release leaders into the mission that God is calling them to. And to develop and release leaders into the mission that God is calling them to. So kind of raised a question in my mind. Well, actually two questions in my mind. First question, well, what's a leader? I mean, what is leadership anyway? And the second question is, well, are leaders born or are they made? I mean, can you make a leader? I work with kids, and often something that we say about kids is, oh, that kid's a born leader. Look at that. Oh, born leader. So are they born? Can you make them? Well, let's look at that first one. Firstly, what is a leader? I counted last night the number of leadership books that are on our shelves at home, and I'm going to blame my husband for this, who has a bit of a leadership book buying addiction. We have 36 leadership books on our shelves at home, and that's not even the ones that are stacked beside the bed, that's just the ones we've shelved. So the topic of leadership is this massive, huge topic, right? And so you could find out what leadership is from just our 36 books. So it's a lot of things. But I think if you wanted to get to the kernel, the very core of what leadership is, the very detailed little section there, the base of it all, you might say that leadership is influence. You might say that leadership is about the influence we have on those around us. Now, sure, it's more. I mean, you know, there wouldn't be that hundreds and hundreds of books if it wasn't. You know, it's casting vision and bringing along a team and being organised and rallying the troops, etc., etc. But at the very core of it, it's influence, which means that if you have influence in your circle of friends or your family or your workplace or your schoolmates or your soccer club, well, you just might be a leader if you have influence over those around you. And the question is, who are you influencing and how are you influencing them? Wow. Means that we've got potential leaders in this room. You're sitting next to a leader and they're sitting next to one too. Well, what about question two? Are leaders born or are they made? I mean, what the heck's with that? So if you've got your Bible and you wanted to open it up, we're at Exodus chapter 4. And that Lockie Watts read to us before, where Moses, and I'll just sort of orientate you to where we are in the passage, Moses is standing on holy ground. He's barefoot on holy ground, and the burning bush is burning in front of him. It's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And he's standing there, and he's got his staff, his shepherd's staff in his hand, and he is arguing with God, for want of a better word. He's arguing with God because God is calling him into mission and ministry. God is calling Moses into this huge grand plan that God has, which is to deliver Israel, who were slaves in Egypt, and to carry them out of slavery, have a revolution, and take them to the land that God has promised. And so God is saying to Moses, let's go, Moses. And Moses, of course, responds like this. Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I'm slow of speech and tongue. You know, he probably had a point. Moses probably had a legitimate reason to clap back at God because people think that he might have actually had a stutter. It might have been a speech impediment that actually prevented him from being a fantastic orator. He was no Barack Obama or name your great person who gives a speech. So it might have been a legitimate reason to actually whinge. Some of the rabbis actually think that it's heavy. The word in Hebrew is heavy. Heavy of speech, heavy of mouth. And so they think, well, maybe it wasn't actually a speech impediment. Maybe he was just really slow and deliberate and measured, and which is fine if you're in a library, but if you have to go and argue with Pharaoh in the Egyptian court, it's not going to do you any favours, right? So he had a complaint, and he said to God, "This is why I can't, God." What does God say? "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." God's saying to Moses this: "It's not about you, Moses. It's not about you and what you can or can't do. It's about me and what I can do through you." Moses didn't see himself as a leader. He saw himself as a murdering runaway slave with a really awkward upbringing in Pharaoh's house. Moses didn't have it all together. But God said, "I will teach you what to say, and I will teach you how to speak." Moses, you might remember, is standing there, and he's got his shepherd's crook or his staff in his hand. He's barefoot, and he's just there before the Lord. And even after that, even after God promises to help him speak, Moses says, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." And that's where that reading ended. The next little part is interesting. It's when the Lord's anger burns against Moses. And he says, "Okay, all right," says God, "I will send Aaron, your brother, alongside. I'm going to give you Aaron, who's going to speak for you. He's going to come and journey alongside. You tell him what to say. I'll tell you what to say. You tell him what to say. We're going to do it that way." So God actually provided resource and provision around Moses in order for him to get the job done that God was calling him to do. He also, I don't know if you remember, he has the staff there. And if you've heard this story in kids' church or whatever, you've read it in your scripture, you know that God actually says to him in this passage, "Throw your staff down onto the ground." And when he throws his staff down to the ground, it becomes a snake. And then Moses picks up the snake by the tail and it turns into his staff again. So God takes Moses' staff and does miraculous and amazing things with it. So not only is he helping him and teaching him what to say and bringing people around him, he's using the tools of Moses' trade in order to get the job done, in order to provide for him. So are leaders born or are they made? I mean, you look at Moses. I mean, he was born in really exceptional circumstances. He had a whole upbringing in Pharaoh's court. He probably spoke three languages badly, but he probably spoke three languages. And here he was. So he could have been a born leader. But he said to God, "I can't do it." And God provided him resource and equipment and the tools in order to do it. So he could have been a made leader. I'm not sure that's the question we should be asking, though, because I think the question we need to be asking is, did God call Moses and did Moses respond with obedience? Because it wasn't about Moses' ability anyway. It was about God using Moses to achieve his purposes. See, church, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He invites Moses and us into his purposes, and he gives us what we need so that they will come to fruition, whether that's our errands and people around us or the tools of our trade in our hands. He qualifies the call, and he provides for them, and he never lets them down. And so we as a church believe that, yes, we can develop leaders who are called into what God has for them. And so this is why it's one of our strategic priorities. It's important. So we've developed three "we wills," and they're going to probably pop up on the screen behind me. And so you can have a bit of a look at those. For our first "we will" about leadership development is, we will develop leaders at all stages of life and in all areas of life. Moses, when he was called, wasn't young. He'd lived half his life already. But Jeremiah was. Josiah was a child, and Paul was an enemy of Christians. Amos was a shepherd. God called people into leadership from all ages and stages of life. if leadership is influence, which it kind of is, yeah, it's those we influence around us. Here's what Paul said about his influence, about the people around him. He said this in Philippians 3:17. Join together in following my example. He also said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We need to be developing leaders who will audaciously, boldly and bravely say to those people they influence, follow my example because I'm following the example of Christ. Oh, that's a hard thing. You know, when the masters like Rembrandt would have apprentices, they would paint these gorgeous, beautiful paintings, and they would have people coming from far and wide wanting to learn how to paint in the style of the great masters. And they would not say, do your own thing. They would actually say, here is my painting, copy it exactly. Copy it. And now today, art historians actually have difficulty figuring out which is the masters and which is the apprentices, because they did such a great job at copying. Imagine if we could raise a generation of people who were so in tune with the God and in tune with the Holy Spirit, they could say to those they influence, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Wouldn't that be a powerful thing? Now, your area of influence will be different. You might have influence in the soccer club or at work, or you might have a desire to be in ministry. There's no use-by date for your influence and for your leadership, and you're never too young to start. Some of you, your influence might be your home, your family. For those of us who are responsible for children, whether that's a parent, a grandparent, an auntie or an uncle, or just kids that you just want to just include as part of your family because you love them. For some of you, Andy Stanley says this, your contribution to the world might not be what you do, it might be who you raise. Leading at home is important. You have more influence than you know with that next generation, but less time than you think. So use that leadership wisely and well. Now, we're into leadership already. We've started, this is a strategic priority for next year, but we've already started exploring leadership, and one of the greatest things about this is that we have a 60-year age gap between people doing exploring leadership. So we have from quite young up to well-experienced people in leadership, which I think is a fantastic thing. I know for myself, my youngest leader in kids ministry is 10 years old. So you're never too young and you're never too old. The second thing that we will is we're going to speak of leadership as gifts, and all gifts really, as an extension of discipleship and an enabling of the Spirit. So leadership is part of our discipleship. It's not about being the one who gets the credit, who gets to be the shiny upfront person. It's actually an extension of following Christ, who gave us the example of the greatest kind of leadership, the servant king, remember? In John chapter 13, he said farewell to the disciples and he put a towel around his waist, stooped down and he washed their feet as an example of a servant. This is the kind of leadership that Jesus has given us an example of. He said in Matthew 20:26, whoever wants to be great amongst you must become your servant. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And our leadership needs to look more like Jesus and less like the world's leadership. We need to be servant-hearted leadership, people who use our influence to bring those along the journey with us, to seek their growth, their well-being, to seek kingdom come. The way we lead matters. The way we lead matters, and we need to be leading like Jesus in that servant-hearted way. Now, we'll put a little asterisk here and say, that's not going to be for every situation at work. Some of us are in the armed service, I'm sure. You probably can't lead like Jesus in the army. I don't know, above my pay grade. But for most of us, we need to be leading more like Jesus. Because if we want to lead people to Jesus, we need to lead like Jesus, yeah? And the only way we're going to learn to lead like Jesus if we are led by Jesus. So we need to let Jesus lead us. Led by Jesus, led like Jesus, to lead to Jesus, so that we can see lives changed. Lives changed by the Lord. So let's be that. Let's lead like Jesus with the fruits of the Spirit, with peace, with patience. Use our influence for kingdom purposes. Third thing we want to do is we want to help people identify their role in the mission of God and be committed to discovering and developing leadership potential. There it is. We want to help people identify. This is another great we will. And the we will starts with those around us. You know that expression, if you see something, say something? This could be us with leadership. Because so many people have a gift or an ability or a passion or a desire, and they don't understand that it's actually something special. So we as a church need to get better at looking around and saying, you know what? You've got something there. I like the way you're committed to this. I love the way your heart always goes to this. Do you realize you're always talking about this thing? I think God might be doing something there. We need to be getting better at encouraging one another in our leadership journey. If we see something, say something. You might sit next to someone that's got a great harmony in their voice. Why don't you say to them, hey, what? I like your voice. Have you ever thought about joining the worship team? Because I see that you've got something there. So let's give ourselves permission to encourage one another, huh? The other part of this is we need to get better at listening when God calls us into something. We need to be more in tune with the Spirit when God is calling us into something. And some of you have had a burning in your heart for a while now. And some of you are standing on holy ground and you're barefoot and the fire is burning. It's not consuming you, but it's burning you. And you're standing there like Moses with the tools of your trade in your hand and you're arguing with God. That's some of us. And God put structure and people around Moses and said to them, it's not about you, it's about me. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you speak and teach you what to say. And some of us are saying, no, God. And we're coming up with our excuses like Moses over and over again. And we're saying, God, but I'm heavy of speech or heavy of tongue. I've got this, I've got that, but what about? Moses flat out resisted that call for a while. It just keeps going and going and going, his resistance. You've got the wrong person. Send somebody else. And this is a pattern, actually, that continues. It's not just Moses. It continues through all of Scripture. Pretty much every single prophet called to ministry or leadership by God said no at first. They all came up with their excuses. I'm too young, said Jeremiah. Jonah, he just did a runner and ended up in a fish. So each and every single one of them said no. Well, I think it's time we're done giving God our excuses. It's not about your excuses or your weakness or your deficiency. It's about God's strength and God's purpose. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Because when we are weak, then God is strong. He's doing it anyway. Yeah, he's doing it anyway. For some of us, the tools of our trade, the staff that Moses had was the tool of his trade, right? And God did miraculous and amazing things through it. For some of us, the tool of our trade just looks like ordinary stick. It's just, oh, it's just this, it's just that, God. Well, God did the miraculous through Moses' tool of the trade. And maybe God wants to do something miraculous in what you bring to him. Don't diminish what God can do through what looks ordinary in you. I'm going to say that again. Don't diminish what God can do through you with whatever God has given you. It might look ordinary, might be shiny, I don't know. Whatever God has given you, don't think that he can't do something miraculous through that, because that's all God has ever done. That's all God ever does with everybody. And God says this, now go. I will teach you how to speak and will teach you what to say. You know, there's no plan B for the local church. There's one local church, there's one church, global church, that God has given to the world to bring about the restoration of all things through Jesus Christ. There's one church, that's it. No plan B. And we as a church think that we need leaders. We need people who are going to step up and say to God, all right, here I am, God. Do with me what you want. And to live a surrendered and abandoned life to God. So maybe God is calling you. Maybe there's something burning in your heart. Maybe you've been there for a while, arguing with God back and forth. It's all right. God always wins. But this mission is so important. It's so important. The world needs Jesus. They need to know that he loves them, that he's for them, that he's with them, that he wants their lives to be changed and transformed, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And that's what's at stake. So that's why we're making leadership one of our strategic priorities as we go into the future. We've been changing the way we do the end of our service a little bit. And so I'm going to invite Brett and the worship team up. And we want it to be more responsive and have a time of reflection where we think about, is God speaking to us? What's God saying to me in this? So I'm going to ask Brett and the worship team to come up, and they're going to continue with that. So thanks.
Well, I'm going to invite you all just to stand right now where you are. In a moment, we are going to sing and have prayer at the front, as we usually do in our services. But before we do that, we would like to invite you to respond in a very specific and particular way to what God is placing on your heart. Last week, Mark stood here and he asked for a show of hands, and he got there was a phenomenal response to that. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And if you want to be a person who wants to step out into leadership, if you feel God placing on your heart, you want to be someone who steps out into a position of influence in whatever circumstance, in whatever place you find yourself, then as I pray, I would like you to step out and come forward to the front. And this is a deliberate act. It takes courage. But if we are to be people who are influencers of this world for Christ, then we're going to need courage. And so I'm going to invite you as I pray to come forward to the front as an act, as a deliberate act, to say, yes, God, I want to be someone who influences the people around me for your kingdom. And I want to do this as an act of something that actually comes from within. It's something that comes from the heart. So I'm going to pray now, and if that is you, then please come forward as I pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Father, we thank you that you are a God who invites us to participate with you in the work that you are doing. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who works through us to reach the lost, the broken, to reach those who don't know you. And Father, as a people, we want to step out in faith. We want to be courageous, Lord. We want to be leaders and people of influence, Lord, so that those who are within our sphere, those who are within our circles, Lord, will not see us, but they will see you. That they will see you reflected in the things that we do and what we say, Lord. And so, Father, we want to step out right now with courage, with conviction, with a sense of tenacity, Lord, a faithfulness, and say, use me, God, use me. I want to be someone who participates. we just pray that you will be working within us right now as we make that commitment, as we take that step of faith. Father, give us the courage and the words to say, to do that. And we pray this in the Saviour's name, Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward now. And we're going to sing some songs and we're going to worship. And if you would like prayer over something that God has placed in your heart, then let me encourage you to hang around and to receive that prayer. But also, if there's anything else that you would like prayer for, anything at all, even if you just want to come and just say, I just want to give God praise. So can you just pray with me as we praise God? Then let me encourage you to do that now. Steph is going to lead us in worship. We're going to respond in song. We're going to lift our hearts and lift our voices to the King, to the Creator of the universe. Let us sing now.